Chapter 8. On that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. Verse 2, and the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and he gave it unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Now you must remember one thing. The king in actual history was never given to any person named Haman. Nor certainly was it ever given in history to any man named Mordecai. It is not written. The only record you will find of this deed is in this very book, which has no reference to any other book in God's Word. Verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and he fell down at his feet, and he besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agagite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. And then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther, so Esther rose and stood before the king. She always used her beauty, even in this story, to, if you would, capture the mind of the king. 5. And he said, if it please the king, she said rather, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seemeth right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hamada, this means double, the Agagite, which means flame, the double flame, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. Now remember the scope of these provinces. They stretched from India to Ethiopia, which means the entire world known at this time. Yet in none of these countries is there a history related to this very recent date, so to speak, biblically speaking. Verse 6. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come upon my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? So what we really see, if you want to know how the Holocaust came into being, that is to say, if you have read any of the literature or the hoax of the 20th century, then you can understand how Esther was written, for the same hand, if you would, and kindred wrote both. 7. Then the king of Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen, and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows, because he laid his hand upon the Jews. And then the king gives instruction. 8. Write ye also of the Jews, as it liketh you, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Continue in chapter 8 with comment on verse 8. We have quite a problem here in God's Word. At the time this is happening, the king is wearing the ring himself, and Daniel is number one in the realm. It was with this ring that the king sealed the closure of the lion's den, even if you would, upon Daniel when the Kenite scribes caused him through entrapment to be placed in such a place. Okay, verse 9. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India. Now I want you to grasp the scope of this. From India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces unto every province, according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing, and according to their language. Is it not strange that in all these languages, 70 it is believed by some, and recorded even if you would in the Hebrew language, if we were to say Yiddish more properly today, there is not one record of it existing. There was not one record of it existing a mere 400 years later when Christ walked the earth. And yet the Babylonian history goes back and even speaks of the flood. Strange, is it not? Okay, verse 10. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name, and he sealed it with the king's ring. And he sent letters by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedaries. Now remember, okay, we'll continue on. I'll make comment on dates in a moment. 11, wherein the king granted the Jews, which were in every city, to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for pride. I wonder if you could truly visualize any king that would place a foreigner, so-called, over all his house, nations, country, and say, kill whoever you want of my people and let your people take total, complete power. Surely that is a dream. We should recognize it as a dream. This has never happened in history, nor has it happened in God's Word. Verse 12, upon one day in all the province of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. Now this would be 9 months later, from the 3rd to the 12th. Now you're coming up on Purim, and today the Kenite still celebrates this day, and they are the only people in the world that do. Verse 13, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, and being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment, they only had 9 months, you see, and the decree was given at Shushan the palace. Okay, so we see the stage set. And is it not strange, Daniel being at Shushan never mentioned Esther nor Mordecai? And is it not strange that Jesus Christ himself mentions Daniel, who was at Shushan, was over all the provinces? Daniel forgot to mention her or Mordecai. Okay, verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great gold, with a great crown of gold, and with a garment of fine linen and purple, and the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. I suppose they probably were. Catch the closing verses of this chapter. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Beloved, even to this day, I hope you're noticing one thing. The book is, the word Israel is not mentioned in this book of Esther. It's not there. It uses this word, Yudas, which means a resident of Judea or a son of Judah. Israel is not mentioned. And I tell you this, fear still goes into the hearts of our people if anybody teaches against a Jew without knowledge or without understanding. It still holds even to this day. It is one of the most unpopular teachings or stands that one can take. People still fear in their hearts from out of ridicule, and I assure you, rightfully so, if they do not know the Savior and who crucified him. They become proselytes. And even to this day, you have proselytes. And very soon, when their true Messiah, the Antichrist, appears, you're going to see proselytes gathered like us on a scale that is never from the beginning of time been matched, nor shall ever be again. Call them what they are. It is important to know of whom you speak. Okay, let's get right into chapter 9 here, if we may. Now in the 12th month, that is the month Adar, on the 13th day, 13 is always rebellion, beloved, of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. Now I want you to, the entire purpose of this book is in these prints we're about to read. Though it was turned to the contrary that the Jews had rule over them that hated them. This is, if you want to properly translate that to the actuality, make it when the Kenites had everything turned quite the contrary from Israel through using the name Jews. And then you would better understand why Jesus Christ used the term those that claim to be Jews and are not but are the synagogue of Satan. Revelation 2:9. The entire purpose of the book is in those parentheses right there. 2. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt. And no man came could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And yes, that fear still holds. There are many great ministers say, don't curse them, God will curse you. Not understanding, of course, that he's talking about Satan's children. 3. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Was it the fear of God that fell upon them, beloved? No, I think we remember now that the name of God, other than in acrostics, is not mentioned in it. It was the fear of little Mordecai, meaning in his tongue, worshiper of Mars, if you need any more clarification concerning the little fella. Okay? Verse 4, for Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, waxed greater and greater. What happened to Daniel? You either, beloved, must give up the 6th chapter of Daniel or recognize Esther for what she is. There is not room for both. I do not find that complicated nor difficult. It won't fit. Mordecai was not a great man in the reign of Ahasuerus, the 6th chapter of Daniel. Daniel was this one. It was only that as this little Kenite saw, or could see, his relatives being thrown into that den of lions, that he wrote and dreamed up this fairy tale. It was allowed by our Father, yes. It should be in God's Word, yes. For it is the record that brought to pass that Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 23, the Pharisees and the scribes sit in the seat of Moses. They've stolen it. They have taken it over completely. That was 400 years after this. Okay, verse 5. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword and slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. I mean, if you got in their way, they butchered you, drawed and quartered. And in Shushan the palace, the Jews slew and destroyed 500 men. Now, the following verses, I want to, you're not going to be able to see this, perhaps, but I want to show you the only place, Gary, I'm going to let you move that camera one in, if you will. The only place in the Hebrew manuscripts that names are given in column. The 10 sons of Haman, how would they rate something of this nature? And actually, being the and that you have is being the conjunction connecting with, if you would, the pronoun. And if I may, I want to read you the meanings of some of these names. Are we talking about heathen? Given by prayer, the meaning of number 1. Number 2 being swift. Let's skip on down a ways, if we may. Fire god. Superior. Lion-like, even if you would of Judah. The strong. Or strong as the wind, which in the Hebrew is strong as ruach. So we see something certainly. Now, some Kenite would tell you the reason they are written in the Hebrew manuscripts is because they were hung one on top of the other. Well, you don't hang men that way, all right? But be that as it may. What do these ten... I submit this to you as supplication. They destroyed ten, all right? They destroyed ten laws, the commandments. They hung them that day. They took right and threw it into that grave. I've never done this before, but for effect, I want to read you some of the law they put in its place. This is of the Talmud. This is the law that they replaced your Bible with, even though they will tell you it is the Old Testament and we accept it. Not without the Talmud. Here is the fairness of Esther's fair people. If the ox of an Israelite bruised the ox of a Gentile, the Israelite is exempt from paying damages. And, of course, this means a Jew. All right, for Israelites don't profess this Talmud. But should the ox of the Gentile bruise the ox of a Jew, the Gentile is bound to recompense him in full. Isn't that wonderful? Is that fair? This is their Bible. If you want to check this out, this is in the Talmud, Bava Kama, Folio 38, Column 1. It's there for you to read and enjoy. All right. Now, let's take another little example of some of their fairness and kindness and really logic that they would use, and then you tell me that they're God's people. When a Jew and a Gentile have a lawsuit before thee, if thou canst acquit the former, that is the Jew, according to the laws of Israel, and tell the latter, the Gentile, such is our law, and if thou canst get him off in accordance with Gentile law, do so and say to the plaintiff, such is your law. But if he cannot be acquitted according to either law, then bring forward adroit pretext and secure his acquittal. Lie about it a little. It won't hurt. You're a good Kenite. It won't hurt to lie because Satan loves it. You're one of his children. Those are my words. If you think for one moment that these people are not intelligent, you're fooled. You're badly deceived within itself. Do you think they do not know who they are? I'm going to read to you from Yevamoth, Folio 16, Column 2. You listen to this. It was by Rabbi Shah, said, nowadays, if a Gentile should betroth a Jewess, there is reason for regarding the betrothal as not therefore invalid, for he may be a descendant of the ten tribes, and so one of the seed of Israel. Yes, it is only our people that are not aware that the ten tribes went north and were intermingled. The very Talmud itself verifies that the ten tribes went north, and if a Jewish marry one, it's still all right. He's probably one of those of the ten lost tribes. It was only the tribes that lost themselves. So here you have this trickery, this law that lines up and only protects one people that possess it, the people that take of it. No wonder they hated Christ, because he would call this scum. And it was for this reason they crucified him. So let's continue then, if we may, with verse 10 of chapter 9. The ten sons of Haman, the sons of Hammedatha, this is double, the enemy of the Jews slew they, but on the spoil laid they not their hand. They didn't touch it. On that day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan the palace was brought before the king. They came to report how many of his subjects had been slain. 12. And the king said unto Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Question. Now, what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee, or what is thy request further, and it shall be done. In other words, does that please you? Good little old Esther. Do you know what she said? Then said Esther, if it please the king, Let it be granted to the Jews which are in Shushan to do tomorrow also according unto today's decree, and let Haman's 10 sons be hanged upon the gallows. These 10 young men already impaled and dead, and this thing, this woman, wants them hung on the gallows for public display. What kind of a hero of Israel, I ask you. 14, and the king commanded it so to be done, and the decree was given at Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. I assure you that Daniel was present and would not have allowed such an atrocity as this. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, also of the month Adar, and slew 300 men at Shushan. But on the prey they laid not their hand. 800 in one little city, all right? But the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives, how about that, and had rest from their enemies, and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on the prey. Is it not strange that such a great atrocity of this is not recorded in history? Or mentioned anywhere else or referenced to anywhere else in God's Word where such a great deed as this took place? Not one prophet, not one scholar, not one writer, not one man led of God mentions this incident in the rest of God's Word. This great delivery. It stands alone. And do you know what God tells you about a scripture that must stand alone? If it doesn't have a witness, it cannot be. On the 13th day of the month Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, rested day, and made it a day of fasting and gladness. Now, that's something to rejoice over, beloved. You got 10 killed twice on a gallows here, hanging right out there in the old hot sun. You got 800 dead laying around here, and you got 70-something thousand laying. That's the time to really take out and have a feast, you know, celebrate. What kind of people would do this? But the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of fasting, feasting, and gladness. 19, therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar, called by some Mordecai day, a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. Beloved, this holiday still holds to this day. It is celebrated on this same day, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of Adar on the Hebrew calendar. However that falls, usually our March. And you will still see this people strike out at its enemies at that time and on that same day. In a way usually hidden by the press, unless you have advantage of a wide coverage. 20, and Mordecai wrote these things, and he sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far. Again, here we have great letters going forth for this great incident. 21. To establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same yearly. And it still does. Mordecai got the job done well, beloved. They still do it. And the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, and from mourning unto a good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and for sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Yes, these are still the deeds that are done on those days. They give one another gifts. And the Jews undertook to do as they had begun, and as Mordecai had written unto them. Let me ask you something. Did it say God said to set up this holiday? Who set it up? Mordecai wrote the letter. Did God say, Mordecai, say this day, I set this aside as one day? No. Mordecai said it. Esther said it. God had nothing to do with it. Verse 24. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast pur, this means stone, That is the lot. This is Goral, or much like our gravel, if you would, to consume them and to destroy them. Now, this is how it gets its name. Listen closely, and you'll know how to identify the mark of the beast from it. And when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. All right, well enough. Now here is the decree, 26. Wherefore, they call these days Purim, which simply is stone, plural, stones, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which have come unto them. Okay, let's analyze this word. This holiday does not come forth anywhere in God's Word. It jumps from here to the Talmud. Does that tell you something? Let me tell you something else, too. Lot or Pebble. Their old father, which is Tyre, the king of Tyre, that's the stone, the rock. You better keep your stone straight. For when it is written in Revelations that you should count the number of the beast, in the Greek it doesn't mean count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It states to enumerate, in the Greek, that word count, to enumerate by using the stones worn and smooth of use over a long period of time, from Cain in the garden till pretty little Esther, our little 120-year-old, or by this time about 125-year-old queen. Little beauty, using the stones to count. There is only one book that carries forth on this, and that is the Talmud. God's Word does not. But it is placed here for your record, for your knowledge, whereby you would know how to count that number of the beast. Their very holiday is called the stones. And you might remember and make a note in Isaiah 47:13. He said, you cry to these stones then, more or less, and let them save you. You better not fear them, beloved. You better stand, for they won't be able to save you at that time. Okay, verse 27. The Jews ordained and took upon them and upon their seed, and upon all such as joined themselves unto them, the whole lot, in other words, so as it should not fail that they would keep these 2 days according to their writing, and according to their appointed time every year. Who's writing? Esther and Mordecai. Again, what people keep them today? It's real tough, isn't it? That's a hard one to figure out. 28. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, and they are, every family, every province, every city, and that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Again, beloved, it is not hard to trace. The only historical place you can find it is in the Talmud. It speaks of it. Speaks there of Haman also. Or you can find witnesses to the book of Esther in the Torah. I'm sorry, the Talmud, if you ever need to. I correct myself. In the Talmud, you can find reference to Esther and Mordecai. But if you're taking your proofs from the Talmud, you're hunting and weigh the left side of the boat. Okay? Verse 29. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. I want to ask a question again. Who wrote Esther and who wrote this order of Purim? Remember that verse 29. It tells you God didn't. Esther and Mordecai did. And is it not strange that it is not found anywhere else in God's Word, or did God ever give credentials to it? 30. And he sent letters unto all the Jews to the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus, with words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim and their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had enjoined them, again by who? Not God, Mordecai and Esther, and as they had decreed for themselves, and for their seed the matters of the fastings and their cry. Well, that says it pretty well, doesn't it? 32, and the decree of Esther confirmed these matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. You bet, not my book, this book. And there it stays. God said to use the scriptures to divide the truth, to prove, to reprove His word. Find me one witness to the book of Esther outside of Esther. Find me Esther's name mentioned one time outside of the book of Esther. I'm talking about in God's word now. You will not find it. It is not there. The book of Esther has no witness. Let's complete, if we may, this book in chapter 10. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles and the sea. I mean, let's really make something. When you must accomplish all your decrees by pen, it's not difficult, okay? And all the acts of his power and of his might and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of the Medes of Persia? That answer is quite simple. The truth of the matter is, absolutely not. Now, if you want to go there and find Daniel, even in God's Word, chapter 6, he's written there, for it is he that was elevated, our Daniel, appointed by God, led by God, true son of Israel, that led our people at that time, not this. And it should strike you very strange that Daniel did not know of these things. It is important also that you remember, in recapping, that King Ahasuerus, in Daniel's reign, helped to the true God of Israel, even from his own mouth, the God of Daniel. From the beginning of his reign until the very end, there was never one moment that that king did not pray to the living God. There was no way that he would be deceived into such a folly as this report is. Third and last verse. For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people. Oh boy, that pretty well should give you a clue right there. And speaking peace to all his seed. Yes, they took that wealth quite seriously down through the years, and still do. And they've done an excellent and outstanding job. I do not wish it to sound sarcastic, but it's difficult when you think what these people have done to our people. But it is beautiful that our Father has allowed this to be planted in our word. How could Mordecai have been elevated next unto the king when Daniel held that spot? Who are you going to believe, Mordecai or Daniel, who was given his credentials by the living God? The choice is yours. You know, the word does prove, Esther. There is a proof, and I'm going to give it to you. It is written in the 35th chapter of Jeremiah, where God brought Kenites into the very tabernacle. And he told Jeremiah, give them wine. And he said, oh, we don't drink wine. No, we don't drink wine. Our father Jehonadab said, no dice. They obeyed their father Jonadab to the point that God says, I promise you this, speaking to the Kenites, you shall never want for a man to stand before you. Is it not ironic that that man in this time was Mordecai with a wicked little pen? For Esther never existed. You will find her nor Vashti written anywhere in history. King Ahasuerus' wife was mundane, not Esther. History well records it. So we see that God, in allowing someone to stand before the Kenite, picks a little one that does it through lies. But then is that not Satan's ways? I thank God for this book. I thank Him because it lets you know today the frame of mind that these people hold. They think nothing of destroying anyone who gets in their way. I read those two small laws from the Talmud to show you how fair-thinking people they are. And you had better believe it. They will say anything. A lie comes easy. I'm talking about the Kenite. Their laws protect them in it. Wake up, watchman. The hour is late. I am Iyah shall correct it. Even the name itself, Esther, means hidden. And here it is, the real truth, hidden in this way. As far as I know, I'm the only person, other than those that study with me, that teach this book in this wise. And I realize that that is a lonely stand, but I stand there. Because it is a lie, and it is documented in this particular study. Let us approach His throne and thank Him for the truth. Yahweh, dear Heavenly Father, Father, we thank You for the written word. We thank You, Father, for Daniel, that truth, that one that even Jesus Himself spoke to and gave credentials for clarifying this book, Father. Father, we thank You for the knowledge and the wisdom. May there be no hate, Father, at this people, for they simply fulfill the negative part of Thy plan. But let them be respected as You would respect a serpent that is within striking distance. Father, grant us knowledge and wisdom, and may we be wiser than the serpent. We pray it in the precious name of Yahshua, Jesus the Christ, Thy Son and our Savior. Amen.